Let's walk the talk.
702.
Well, I gave you a little sneak peek a little bit earlier on when I was practicing his surname live on air, Bokani Dyer. He's with me here in the studio. Very good morning to you.
Good morning. Thanks so much for having me.
It's amazing. You know, you always got to practice surnames because you think you can see it, you know it, you've heard it, and sometimes when it comes out of your mouth, it's just wrong. I mean, I've got the easiest name, right? Jane Dutton.
Yes.
But I get called everything. Jean Button is the most common. Anyway, lovely to have you with us.
Yes.
You've been a pretty busy boy at the moment. Tell us what you've been up to.
Oof. Yeah, quite a lot. Most recently, I was involved in the Big Band Festival that happened at Gold Reef City, which was a double bill with Ladysmith Black Mambazo, which was really amazing. I got to arrange my music for full big band, which is something I'd never done.
And what was the challenge there?
Well, orchestrating for so many instruments and also making it sound right and getting the balance right, because now you just have this, like, so much sound at your disposal that you have to really there's a definite art to making it come alive, because you can do too much or do too little or underutilize, overutilize, or you know, there's a lot to think about when you're dealing with that animal.
And before we get into if you were successful or not, and I'm sure you were, Bokani's a multi-award winning pianist, a singer and composer. And if you want to ask him anything, I'm just going to remind you of the numbers quickly. 011-883-0702. The WhatsApp number is 072-702-1702. So obviously you cracked that challenge.
Yes, I think I was pretty successful. I mean, I do enjoy the arranging thing, so it was something that I was looking forward to really, like, sink my teeth into it. So I took my time, took a few months to, like, really spend a lot of time doing it. And I was happy with the result, and the response was good as well. So,
and it must be amazing working with them. I mean, they've been around for such a long time.
Oh, I wasn't actually working with Ladysmith Black Mambazo. It was just a double bill. So they were performing. We were using the same big band.
Right.
So I wasn't on stage or working with them. I just got to listen to a bit of their set. So it was featuring my music.
Let's listen to some of your new music.
Yes, please.
It's beautiful.
Thank you so much.
Tell us about it.
So Tiamoa means be strong spirit in Setswana. And the song is basically about, like, it's kind of like a prayer or kind of self-talk somewhere in the middle, because it's not religious. So it's when one goes through difficult periods, to kind of tell yourself to be strong and believe that better days are coming, or that, you know, the phase that you're going through will pass.
And obviously, this, can I assume it was your journey? I mean, what, something that you were going through, or is it a message to others?
I think it's universal. I mean, I think we all go through ups and downs. So I believe that it's quite a relatable thing. When you need some kind of strength and you don't know where to get it from, you know. And
I should imagine putting together a piece like that must be incredibly cathartic anyway. I mean, just to...
Yeah. Yeah, well, because it's expressing the feeling through the music, and somehow song can have a healing quality about it. So, yeah.
And tell me about working with your dad.
Yeah, it's great. I mean, we've worked together so much, and we're actually about to travel to the States in a few weeks for a month to do some duo performances and then meet up with other musicians as well. So yeah, it's always great to work with him. We are friends outside of, you know, the father-son thing or the music thing. So that also helps. He's a person that I like to spend time with and hang out with. So I think that also kind of seeps into our musical relationship.
Because he's a pretty established musician, Steve Dyer.
Yes.
I mean, how do you two influence each other? I mean, it must be quite a dynamic process if you get that right.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I haven't spoken too much to him about how much I've influenced him. But I think the natural thing is for the father to influence the son. And his musical life definitely has had an impact on me becoming a musician, because music was always kind of a big part of my immediate surroundings. So I was very much exposed to, you know, music and the life of a musician from a very early age. So the influence is huge. And throughout my career, he's just been someone who's walking the path, and, you know, has given me a lot of insight and a lot of valuable advice.
I should imagine the life of a musician, until you crack it, can't be an easy one. So you were incredibly lucky that you had somebody there who was teaching you on a daily basis. You could see it living out.
Yeah, definitely. And also for my mother to allow me to become a musician in the first, or not allow me, as if she would have forced me to do something else, but it became a little bit easier to explain to the family, like, well, here's an example of someone who can make a living out of this music thing, which is quite a tough thing for a lot of people. There are a lot of people who want to be musicians, and because so many people around them just don't see it as a viable career path, you know, they get steered away. So,
and how hard is it? I mean, what I should imagine, you can't just go there with this creative gift. There's got to be the business side to it. You've got to have mental strength.
I think, yes, mental strength, and also the type of person you are. You know, it's an unpredictable life, because sometimes things are good, sometimes things are really bad, and you have to be able to manage that. So it's not an easy thing, but it is possible. That's one thing that I always say when I give workshops to younger musicians who are not sure about it. I always say that it is possible. It's not the easiest. I don't know. I've actually never made a cent outside of music, so I don't know about other careers. To the point where I could actually speak on them. But I can say from my life that it is possible to make a living from doing the music thing.
And where does the money come from? Is it sales? Do you get more when you perform live? I mean, what is the perfect balance?
Yeah, well, I think because of the way the recording music industry went with piracy and then into streaming, I'm sure you might be aware that streaming doesn't pay that much unless you're getting like billions of streams and things like that for it to actually make sense as an income. So I would say that most money comes from live performance. So that's probably the most, or actually licensing or syncing your music, like sound to picture, or if your music gets used on like some ad or something like that, then that's also, I think, quite a lucrative business. But in my case, personally, performance is where I get the most.
And it would be a bit rough if you are shy of that.
Yes. Yeah. Well, I mean, I think there are quite a lot of shy performers who just, you know, bite the bullet and just do it, you know. Because at the end of the day, I think it's just about expressing yourself. I mean, the shyness is just, I think, a character trait. But if you're someone who really loves music and it's your thing, I think somehow you find a way. Like, the music kind of takes you somewhere else. It's like a diversion from dealing with like a shyness thing,
yeah,
if that makes sense.
And I guess you're so focused on putting up what you need to.
Yeah. Well, if you're in the moment and you're giving a performance, to be really immersed in the music is I guess what you're going for, because then you're expressing from a kind of a place where it can take you out of those things, you know. Yeah.
All right, let's listen to Resonance of Truth.
Yes.
702. Let's walk the talk.
Streaming countrywide on the 702 app.
All right, we're going to get to Resonance of Truth in a moment. Do you want to tell us about it?
Yeah, well, this one is a song about being kind of true to yourself. I was thinking a little bit about the social media generation and how sometimes people feel the pressure or the need to present versions of themselves which they feel are more palatable or acceptable, whatever that is. It's all kind of imaginary stuff in the head, I guess. So it's talking about being more true to oneself. I say in the chorus, who are you living for? What are they asking for? Trying to be everyone's favorite weighs you down every day. While you parade in the frenzy, be careful not to run far from home. And home in this instance, I'm talking about like being at home with yourself, in yourself, and doing things that make more sense to you, you know. So that's what it is.
A good message. And when you're putting your music together, I mean, what is there something that comes first? There's no
formula for my process. It can be something like for this song, I had the musical idea, and the first line that came to me was, be careful not to run far from home. And then I just kind of branched out and branched out. So, yeah.
That must be so exciting.
Yeah, it is. It is.
I've got it. This is a good one. You've done quite a bit of travel.
Yes.
How important is that to your music?
Yeah, travel is great. Seeing other places, meeting different people, eating different food, you know, seeing different sights. And yeah, it's great. I just enjoy it. I don't know. You know, it's also great to collaborate with musicians from elsewhere. So I guess that's how it may impact the musical process. But yeah, it's just a fun, it's more kind of like a fun, really great perk of what I do.
And do you find international audiences very different? Are there any particular countries that stand out as a strange audience?
Well, I would say that I've traveled to Europe quite a bit, and I found that they're really the culture of support is really great there, but also just the way the cities are set up. You know, a lot of European cities are quite small, and you can walk a lot of the places, and public transport is great. So these are the kind of things that when you go there and you come back, you're like, ooh, okay, you know, Joburg is such a big place. Our public transport systems are not that great, not that safe all the time. So It becomes tough for like a support culture of live music, which I think is one of the reasons that a lot of live music venues end up closing down, because it's just so hard to sustain with the numbers and making everything make sense. So it's really good to travel and see that kind of stuff and think about it and you know, speak about it and see if there are ways that we can kind of implement or, you know, borrow some ideas and then make it easier for us in our environment.
All right, let's listen to Resonance of Truth.
Inside. Feels like you're always chasing, trying to catch up, running around in circles, don't know who to follow. If you know, tell me who's got the map. Who are you living for? What are they asking for? Trying to be everyone's favorite, weighs you down every day while you parade in the frenzy. Be careful not to run far from home. You feeling? Do you lead with intuition? Where do we go to find some serenity? Stop looking out too far, try listening within. Follow the resonance of truth, live in liberation. Who are you living for? What are they asking for? Trying to be everyone's favorite, weighs you down every day while you parade in the frenzy. Far from
Daddy must be very proud.
I hope so.
Tell us about your collaboration with Bronzewood Recordings.
Bronzewood. So they're a London-based recording label started by Giles Peterson, who I'm not sure if you're aware of, DJ Global Tastemaker. Amazing musical mind, who's really open, like musically, in terms of not boxing himself into like a certain style, a certain type of thing. So that's something that I feel very fortunate to have been able to connect with them, and that they saw, you know, potential in a relationship with my music because of what they stand for in that regard. They're just doing some really great, exciting things in the UK and around the world. I first got to work with them on the Indaba Is compilation, which came out in 2021. I think we recorded like in the height of lockdown and things like that. So that's when I got to meet them and got to work with them for the first time. And then when I was done with this music, it felt like you know, a natural fit for me to approach them and say, would they be interested in partnering? And luckily they were.
It'll be interesting to see what they have planned for you. Binzu App says, this is good music coming from a guy as young as he is. I agree. He said, I pick up a Stamela influence infused into his music.
Wow, that's very interesting that somebody said that, because I was musical directing for Bare Piri just before he passed, for his last his last few shows that he did. And Resonance of Truth started off as a remix of a Stimela song, and Ray Phiri hated it.
Really?
Well, not hated it. He says he came into the room and he said, yeah, I can hear you guys can play, but I can't hear my song. So he was very particular about how his songs were played. Mm. So he didn't want too much done or changed about the original. So that specific song was a remix, the instrumental part. A few parts were taken from the Whispers in the Deep song from Stimela.
Well done.
Yeah.
Wow. All right. So the relationship going forward with Brownswood, I mean, where do they want to see you, and what would you like to see happening there?
Well, they have a huge, like, global coverage, in the kind of underground circuits. Like, you know, it's not pop music, but, yeah, they've got a big audience, I think, worldwide. So it's just good to be with them, because when they you know, spread the word, it gets out there. So it would be good to do some touring on the back of all of this. So hopefully, yeah, that'll come up in the near future, and then we'll see.
Mm.
Yeah.
And in South Africa, I mean, you're here to stay.
Yeah.
Good boy. What are you seeing coming out here that excites you? Because, I mean, I know we've got a fantastic reputation here and abroad, obviously, with our musical talent.
Yeah, I mean, always. There's always been amazing musical talent, you know, great performers, amazing creatives across the arts, you know, not just music. A lot of kind of my contemporaries are doing really great things. And what's really great to see now in the past few years is that the world is really opening up and listening in. You know, also this compilation that we did, Indaba, is because it had the backing of Brownswood, I think it got a lot more people interested in South African jazz, which has become like a thing now. And I was lucky enough to perform at the North Sea Jazz Festival.
Yes, I saw that. How was that?
Last year. Incredible. I've never seen anything like that. I mean, it's 10 stages and just the most incredible performers. I mean, you'll have like Herbie Hancock on this stage, but at the same time, George Benson, and then Erykah Badu here, and then Lionel Lueke. I mean, it's actually too much. Mm. It's so overwhelming, but it's unreal. Really amazing. Great sound. Everything is just so well put together at that festival. So it was amazing. And it was kind of a little bit of a South African feature, because they featured, I think it was 4 or 5 South African acts, young South African acts. Because a lot of times if you go to these big international festivals, they would, you know, go to the obvious choices. You know, I mean, some of them are not around anymore, but, you know, Abdullah Ibrahim, Huma Skela, those names that have been around. So it's great to see such a big festival, you know, looking at younger artists and seeing how, you know, they can fit them into that stage. Yeah.
So a lot of people are asking, so obviously I didn't pronounce it very well, it's Steve Dyer and Bokani Dyer. They already want to stream your music.
Oh, great.
Thank you so much for coming in and talking.